To him that stretches out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule the night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel for his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And had redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. I read the entire psalm. So my thought was, how do we get our attention and reminder from the God's word, a pattern of genuine, sincere thanksgiving? Because an appropriate focus and a heart of thanksgiving presented to God is a form of praise and worship, and God is well pleased with it. He desires that. So as Brother Dave prayed, that it's not just the words, but I think this psalm, as I said, it's unique, and I can appreciate that you realize why it is unique. It's 26 verses, and the second part of every verse is the same refrain. It is what's known in the Hebrew writings as a great Hallel, a psalm of praise. It was, to the best of our appreciation, typically read and shared at the time of Passover and the Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And the way it's constructed, it is, I can almost envision that the reader, that the rabbi that would be reading or whoever was reading would read the first portion of the verses and the assembly would provide the refrain, for his mercy is forever. And I think that is really the methodology that the Hebrew people have used. And it's interesting enough that it starts off here that in the first 3-4 verses, the writer invites the assembly to worship. And he's identifying this because even in each one of those verses, he repeats that his mercy, by the way, this word mercy is translated in other Bibles, loving kindness. So if I use it together or inadvertently, one or the other, just so you can appreciate that it means that for his loving kindness or his mercy endures forever. And what he's trying to, the writer is trying to identify, that everything that we have is because of God's mercy, because of his loving kindness. Even though it applies, obviously, was written to the old people of Israel, but the model and the pattern applies for us today. It is not that this psalm and this chapter is appropriate only for time of thanksgiving, for this is something, even though, like I said, the The Hebrews have done this traditionally around Passover and around the New Year. But it's a psalm that can be used throughout the entire year. Why? Because we find encouragement that giving thanks to our gracious God should be something that it's on a regular basis. We find in Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians, we find similar verse, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, one of the commentaries on this psalm says that the repeated refrain teaches us that to praise the Lord properly, we must acknowledge that everything we receive from him is bestowed by his grace. Again, as you read this particular psalm and you look at the words, particularly if you see some of the words in the Hebrew language, you will see that they are actually the words repeated from the first five books of Moses and perhaps some of the other writings. What it reflects really that the author of the psalm, as God has laid on his heart, understood the scripture. He was well-versed in the scripture because he was simply building upon things that were written aforetime, before time, and he was just repeating, using those in the same manner. Knowing the scripture is very important. This morning we were studying about a Bible class lesson. Is it good to continue to study the Word of God? And I think that unanimous agreement was definitely so. Studying the Word of God and understanding the Word of God is one way how we can be reminded of his writings and reflect in thanksgiving. Because when we read, it says that this is his desire for us, that we would give thanks to him on a regular basis, not just around Thanksgiving time, that we can be reminded of that and be stimulated and motivated by the Spirit of God to do so. So knowing the scripture is a very important element in our attitude towards thanksgiving. Spurgeon once said of John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress that we are all familiar with, he says something like this about it. He says that John Bunyan was so full of the Bible that it ran in his veins. He wrote it in the old English language, so I translated it so we can understand it better from the Shakespearean. But basically, the John Bunyan, as he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress and the whole idea of a sinner and redemption that we find in Christ and the struggles that we have in this life, it's all based on his understanding of the scripture. It was not just a fictional story that he has written. And the same message applies for us today. Why is also knowing the scripture so important for our everyday living? It's not just a reminder that we would give God the praise and thanks which he so desires from us, but more so as we face challenges in life, that we would be reminded of his promises. I think this is where knowing the scripture is even more paramount for our daily living than just a reminder that we are to give thanks. So the author first invites the assembly to praise and worship. So these are the first three, four verses, and it's the call to worship. But then he goes on, and in the verses from 4 to 25, he describes the reasons, the causes for our thanksgiving, and I think they apply to us today in the same manner. And he summarizes that it's because of God's power in creation. Then he goes on of reflecting God's power in redemption, salvation of Israel. And then he highlights a few verses of God being the champion for his creation, for his people Israel, and we are the new Israel today. Of him being the helper, saver, and provider for everyday's needs in a times of need, in a times of trouble. And then concludes of the final invitation to give thanks to God. The Hebrew word for give thanks means to confess or acknowledge, and thus calls us to thoughtful worship, spelling out what we know or have found of God's glory and his deeds. It starts off that God is good. God only is immutably good. It's not that God is better than so-and-so. Our God is better than other God. No. God is immutably good. He is the standard of goodness. He is the only good. And that's the reminder that the author of the psalm goes through. We need to be reminded of his goodness, that he means nothing but good for us, nothing but he wants to see us through in this life to accomplish tasks, to purpose that he has for us, and that is to spend eternity with him for those that are in Christ. The enemy of our soul wants nothing more but to place doubts and cast doubts on our everyday living. And Peter very carefully reminds us of that, that our enemy of our soul is like a roaring lion seeking who he may want to devour. So understanding the word of God and trusting in his goodness and his promises is a key, not just in our reflection of thanksgiving, but also our ability to face the daily challenges, particularly in times of trials. Those are the times mostly when we are vulnerable to doubts and discouragements. And we have promises throughout the scripture, particularly in the New Testament, of God's faithfulness to see us through. The author says that we are to give God thanks because he is God of gods. In one way, connecting to our Bible class lesson, this would imply that there are multiple gods. But really, it does not. There's only one God. We know that. Our God, God Jehovah. Jehovah, as the Jews would call. But the way it's expressed, that he is the only God, that he is the sovereign God. And then if he is the sovereign God, what he has determined to accomplish for people of Israel and for his children today will come to pass, that we can be assured of his promises and his sovereignty. And so then the author again goes back to the beginning of the scripture, that God is the creator of everything. We're faced with the very first few words in the Bible, that in the beginning God created. It's not open to debate. It's not open for some arguments, maybe. It's an assertion. It's a statement. But how often do we pause for a moment? Well, I know we've talked at times in the Bible studies, maybe even from the pulpit, and reflect on his creation for us. He has created this earth so that we can inhabit this earth. Those of us that have gone a little bit through some study of the solar system and through various methods of education or personal interest realize pretty much that if we were just a little further away from the sun, it would not be good for us. Or closer to the sun. If the earth was just a little bit bigger in diameter, not good for the atmosphere, we would not be able to live. Or reverse, if the earth was just a little smaller in diameter, we could not survive. We could not sustain life, the animal, plants, and us. So we need to stop at times, occasionally, when we read about that he has created everything. In his wisdom, Psalmist says, in his wisdom, he's created all this. The wisdom that God has applied in creating this earth for us, though we live in a fallen world, though we are experiencing the groaning and travailing of this earth, that it's awaiting for the return of the Creator, says, by Christ, by him, for him, and through him, all things are created. Yet, in this fallen state, we still are experiencing the basic elements of God's creation that provides an environment for us that it can sustain this physical life. Do we stop at times and think to reflect in gratitude and thanksgiving? We take it for granted each and every day as we get up and breathe the air and have the atmosphere. But just think, these small little variations, just these few parameters that I mentioned, never mind so many more, would destroy life. And yet, Christ holds that all in his hand as a creator. Goes on and reflects on this aspect of God being the power that has helped Israel be redeemed. If there is one soul here today that believes that they can save themselves from the eternal destruction and damnation that awaits those that do not repent and accept Christ as a personal Savior, read the Old Testament, read the New Testament. As if it would be saying that Egypt, by their own might, by their own strength, released themselves from Pharaoh, got themselves free, walked through the Red Sea. It was all by their own power. Take that physical aspect of it and apply it to a spiritual element today. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's God's work, no other way. And if we live today in any other imagination that we can save ourselves, that we are inherently good people and that we can save ourselves, wrong. This is the reminder why we are to give God thanks for his redemption, for his salvation. Israel experienced that as a nation, and we're experiencing that as individuals. And that is the cause and reason why we are to give him thanks. And goes on to provide elements of God's power and omnipotence against Pharaoh, against other gods. God Og was apparently a giant. There is no power that can thwart the plans of God of our salvation. For it says in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Knowing the scripture, having Christ in our lives, knowing the scripture allows us, first of all, to be thankful, to be grateful for what God has done, but also to have confidence that even when we are facing difficulties in life, we have a promise that he who has begun a good work will complete it, that we will see Christ face to face in heaven. Not because of our own works, but because of his promises. Just like God has promised to Israel, had a covenant promise that he would not break, God is making a promise to his children today. Those that have a desire and continue to have faith expressed in God himself will see Christ face to face one day. And then we are reminded that for everyday provisions, not just for human beings, but for everything that lives, God provides. Do you ever stop and think that there's almost 8 billion people on this planet right now? And by God's grace, we all, in general, have ability to sustain ourselves, have food. I know there are many poor countries, poor places. It's not because there is lack of food in the world. It's a lack of compassion on the part of those perhaps that have a lot more than the rest of the world. And we are part of that. So it's not that there is a lack of sustainable food in this world. At times it's a lack of compassion. At times it's a poor politics and so on and so forth. But here the psalmist is reminding us that cause for thanksgiving to God is for he is God, he is sovereign, he is powerful, he has rescued us from the life of sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has been a guide and sustainer of everyday life for us. He has made promises to give us assurance of the end goal, and that is to see Christ face to face. And he is providing for our daily necessities. Our daily prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily food." So in our gratitude, in our thanksgiving, we reflect our dependence on God. As it was mentioned this morning, unfortunately, we grow in a society where there's abundance of everything, and so often we take things for granted. But do we realize just because we do have our bank accounts and our jobs and opportunities to buy plenteous food in this country, do we take that for granted that, oh, that's just, we're just in a good country, that it is still a God's provision for our lives? Perhaps you may ask, why did the psalmist have to repeat 26 times that same refrain? "For his mercy or loving kindness endures forever." I mentioned already the enemy of your life and my soul and your soul loves to bring doubts in our lives. And whenever we're faced with struggles, and we do that on a regular basis, we live in a fallen world and we cannot escape the things that befall humanity in this day and age. Not that God cannot change and alter the circumstances, but if he chooses not to, those that are struck with cancer, those that have lost their jobs, those that have experienced a financial ruin, if this is what happens in our lives, that we lose health, that we lose a loved one, this is the test of our trust in his word. It is easy to claim that we thank God, that we trust him, that we love him when things are going smooth, but they will not. We are in this fallen world, and until Christ returns, each and every one of us, according to God's ultimate purpose and plan, will be faced with this. And when we are, our lack of perhaps appreciation of his word, our lack of trust in his word will create doubts. And this is where we are most vulnerable. And the psalmist is using this repetition to keep reinforcing the idea that his mercy or loving kindness endures forever, including the moments of trials, including when we feel totally abandoned, quote unquote. We feel that we're all alone and that no one else is facing this. And the psalmist is encouraging us through this repetition, be reminded, this is the God you serve. This is the God I serve. Do not give up. Trust in his sovereignty. Trust that he means well and good to the outcome of the very end of your life. And that whatever you're going through, God has a reason and purpose for it. That we have our God, that we have his word, we have our fellowship, we have our assembly of believers to help us along the way, so that in each and every day, in each and every opportunity, we can express the words of gratitude. That is the praise to him. Not just a lip service, but when we are burdened, when we are challenged, when it feels like the whole world is just collapsing under us, and we express our trust and our confidence in his word, in his promises, this is the praise to God. This is what God appreciates and loves, because we do through the actions, not just through the words. And so he concludes with a beautiful verse again, calling us to give God the thanks, because that's really ultimately what says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." Very rarely do we see that statement, God of heaven, the sovereign God, no other gods, "for his mercy or loving kindness endures forever. May the Lord add a blessing to his word.